Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
We cut the Kit Kat a-hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of September 30th, 2013. I'm your host, Zach. This time we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Good evening.
So let's get right into the show because I'm sure we have a bunch of stuff to talk about. And let's kick it off with news like we usually do. And there were a couple trailers to talk about to kick things off. First up, did either of you guys see the new trailer for Frozen? Or, like, I guess the first trailer for Frozen?
But I'm interested.
Yeah, so latest from Disney Animation, not Pixar, just the internal Disney who brought us Wreck-It Ralph last year. And definitely feels like they're the one before Wreck-It Ralph, Tangled. Because it's like princess in like just to go save the day.
Strong female character.
Yeah. So basically, what's going on is there's this kingdom. It's usually like pretty much summer there the entire time, but then the evil sister of the princess somehow gets magic powers and basically casts a spell that turns the kingdom into like winter. So everyone's like freezing, and then the princess has to like, go and try to stop her sister and gets like help from like a magical snowman and a ice salesman.
Okay, I mean,
sounds like Disney enough to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Disney roots are like, it's always like a family member that tries to betray everyone. Mm-hmm. So that's classic Disney there.
Yeah.
Classic Disney.
And there's
wacky animal sidekicks and all sorts of stuff going on. So it's pretty much, it's like straight up Disney's, like, Disney classic fairy tale.
Yeah, but,
stuff.
Like, the one thing, I mean, I haven't seen this yet, but the one thing that really make it, like, new Disney, if, like, the princess was Hispanic. There hasn't been a Hispanic, like,
character. No, she's voiced by Kristen Bell, so.
Like, the whitest girl we have. Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, like, it's gonna be crazy, because, like, Disney's gonna have, like, two pretty gigantic movies coming out, like, basically around the same time at Thanksgiving. Like, Frozen's coming out Thanksgiving week, I think, and then Thor's, like, the week before, so it's gonna be a pretty big Thanksgiving for Disney.
Oh, boy. There's some, big things happening in the movie world
mm-hmm.
very soon. I think this is just, like, the dawn, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're getting into, like, the second wind of blockbusters because we're getting to like the holiday season. So.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. But even looking ahead to 2015, like we just found out today that obviously we know everything else that's coming out, but now Ted 2
yep.
just got moved from like April to the middle of blockbuster season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm just going to have to like either move into my local movie theater or, like, buy stock in AMC or something. I have no idea.
Yeah. Get, like, an annual pass or something.
Yeah. Can they just do that? Be like, listen, if I buy, like, $300 worth of passes, can you just, like, discount me, like, $50?
Yeah.
Or at least give me, like, a free Snickers or something.
Yeah, so, yeah, for them to come out Thanksgiving. And then coming out close to Christmas is part two of the new Hobbit trilogy. Desolation of Smog, and we got a new trailer for that one this week. Did you guys see that one?
Can I tell you a secret?
That you hate Lord of the Rings, Joe?
No, I don't hate it. I worse than hate it. I don't give a fuck
mm-hmm.
about it. At least if I hated it, I would want to see it to see how like terrible it is and talk smack about it. I'm just not interested, man. I'm really not.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I did not see the trailer. I'm sure it looks really cool, but you won't catch me seeing it.
It's definitely more like action focused and serious than the first trailer, which is all about like this like a lot of it was like this apparently it's gonna be this like really like slapsticky like chase where like the hop, like the dwarves and the hop Bilbo end up in like
Benny Hill theme yeah. just blaring in the background.
Yeah, because they end up in like barrels and like going down a river and stuff.
Oh boy! Oh, I tell me that leads to mine carts.
Hope well,
no,
that would be just.
I mean, they kind of were in a mine last movie.
Boo.
No mine carts, but they're like running through a mine.
Okay.
The mines of Moria.
Ah.
And like Legolas is back. Because they're running, they like basically end up in like the elves' forest or whatever in this movie. We finally got to hear Smaug talk, and he's voiced by Benedict Cumberbatch. So I was waiting to hear him like just drop some con lines or something.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we begin? But yeah, I mean, I thought the first one was pretty fun. I mean, nowhere near as good as any of the Lord of the Rings movies, but it's still, like, a fun action fantasy movie. So, I'll probably check out the second one. Yeah, and that's coming out, I believe, like, December 13th or something? I don't think it's Christmas Day, but it's, like, the week before Christmas or something. Yeah, oh, yeah, December 13th. So, right before, like, the just onslaught of Christmas movies.
Yeah, it's always good to see Disney stuff around the holidays,
well,
Thanksgiving, Christmas, if you ask me.
Well, The Hobbit's not Disney.
No, I know, but I meant Frozen.
Yeah,
Frozen,
uh-huh.
You know, with The Hobbit, I could, you know,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't piss on it if it was on fire.
Anyway, so moving on to other news. Last week on that podcast, we talked about two potentially big comic book shows coming to TV, like a possible Agent Carter show from Marvel, and then the Gotham Jim Gordon GCPD focus show coming to Fox.
GCPD Blue.
Yes. But yeah, I guess right after we recorded, we learned there's going to be a third show, comic based, coming to NBC, based on John Constantine.
Oh, ooh, so not the cape.
No, not the cape.
Bring him back. Bring him back, everybody.
Six seasons in a movie.
Yeah. Cape begins. Come on. Yeah, well, that's cool. Constantine getting his own show. You had me a little bit worried. Well, not worried, but... Okay, fuck it. I'll say worried because it's an NBC show.
Mm-hmm.
But... you would think that the material of Constantine would probably lend itself a little bit better to, like, Showtime or HBO. I mean, especially Showtime might be looking to fill up some content now that Dexter is no more.
Yeah.
Especially in that sort of darker, like, serial killer. I mean, not that Constantine deals with, like, serial killers on the reg or anything like that, but...
What's, like,
you know, it's definitely in the same wheelhouse.
Yeah,
dark, evil shit,
yeah.
Brooding, moody... Gothic stuff, blood, tits, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, NBC. I mean, at least people will be watching it. Ideally, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think Hannibal shows we can get away with pretty much anything on NBC now.
Yeah, as long as people watch it, they could get away with
yeah.
it. You know,
it's also kind of weird because I feel like this is going to be like because they have Grimm. And mm-hmm. Grimm is basically the same thing as Constantine, basically.
Yeah,
so
yeah, pretty much. Except it's a DC property.
Yeah.
So they might be like, oh, well, we want to include, like, Swamp Thing or something like that. Because, like, how Guillermo del Toro is doing that whole, like, dark Justice League project, allegedly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which we really haven't heard anything about in a minute. But, you know, we're keeping our fingers crossed here that that's still happening. But anyway, like, that might be... a good opportunity for them to be like, hey, that sparked interest with the nerdcore, like,
mm-hmm.
way back, so maybe we could bring in weird DC characters to cross over, like, things that aren't exactly, like, beloved properties, like Zatanna, or, like, I mean, I personally like Swamp Thing a lot, but it's definitely not one of their more, like, popular, like, mainstream properties, but neither is Constantine,
well, I mean,
so stuff like that.
The Swamp Thing comic has been, like, one of their biggest, like, New 52 books.
Oh, absolutely it has, and rightfully so. I mean, I'm really rooting for Swamp Thing, man. I don't think he gets the love that he deserves. But I'm talking about as far as, like, the mainstream audience. Like, your average NBC viewer isn't going to be like, oh,
yeah.
Swamp Thing. Mm-hmm. Or like, oh, Constantine. Cool.
And but, apparently...
don't expect to see Superman.
Yeah. Well, apparently, this Constantine show is... what it was. It's like, fallout from, like, the deal they made to do the Constantine movie.
Oh. Keanu. No Keanu Reeves?
It'd be cool if he starred in it.
Alright, he's not really doing anything, is he?
Just, like, 47 Ronin. Like, he hasn't made a movie in, like, how many
like
years?
Like I said.
Yeah. And he directed, like, what was not... that, like, Man of Tai Chi or something?
Where it's like, I forgot he's in that.
Where it's like, I don't know. He's something like evil, like trainer / promoter or something. I don't know.
Private like kung fu movie watcher.
I'm gonna make you the greatest Tai Chi guy of all time.
Then I'm gonna fight you.
But you have to fight me to win the tournament or something, man. Try and hit me, bro.
There is no spoon.
I don't know about that 47 Ronin movie either. Like, what do you guys... are you guys, like, that's, like, a big... that's one of the big Christmas movies.
I feel like it's, like, the weird... he definitely watched a lot of, like, Last Samurai and was like, I could do that better.
Yeah.
And I could do that more anime-ish.
I'm worried it's gonna be, like, Man with Iron Fists or... something else.
Which, you know, Man of Fish is not that bad. Like, the more I watch it, the more I got, like, I like certain characters, I like certain scenes, you know?
Yeah, but it's, overall, it's just kind of, like, dumb.
Oh, like, if I saw this in the theaters, I was like, I had to be really, like, drunk and then, like, confused, and I walked in and saw it.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it's surprisingly decent for what it was. But it wasn't, like, potentially, like, this is going to be a great movie, but, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, Keanu Reeves, like, when's the last time he made something that's, like, awful?
Yeah, let's go back. Lake House, other things.
But, okay, recently.
Other things.
But like, that's all like romantic comedies.
Yeah, what
though.
In God's name was he in recently?
So, really it's like, nothing, how bad, man. So how bad could it be that we've forgotten, you know? Like, and most of the movies he's sucking are like romantic comedies or like that one horror movie, like The Watcher. Where he was like The Strangler. So like, there's not much.
Street Kings, Day the Earth Stood Still. Those are good recent ones.
Oh, the Day the Earth Stood Still. That
I forgot about Street
cinematic
Kings.
Cinematic classic.
Yeah. Scanner Darkly. I didn't see that one.
That's actually a good movie.
Yeah, man. I heard really good things about it. Like, I haven't seen
Constantine,
it. But...
Constantine is like his most recent, like one of his most recent movies.
Yeah, in the last like 8 years.
Yeah.
That scene was just like. If you didn't read Constantine at all, like, know about it, it's like, okay, this is, like, a decent, like, sort of sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
Because, again, Shia LaBeouf, I just love how he dies. And then, and then, you know, people forgot, like, he was a DC character, which, like, DC gave no support, like, to Constantine. They're just kind of like, here's the rights, like, go do something. So now it's like, hey, people are into comics again. Like, we can actually take this shit serious.
Yeah, I mean, the new Constantine comics going on right now. So he fought Swamp Thing because he got like drunk on like crazy whiskey tree and like lost his mind, and so they had to fight him.
Awesome.
Yeah, so hopefully, probably see that maybe. Probably, I'm gonna guess like maybe next season, like fall next season probably. But yeah, but just definitely keep an eye on that one, along with those other comic book shows. Moving on, actually, kind of sad news from earlier today. Tom Clancy passed away.
No.
At age 66.
That's still fairly young, man.
Yeah.
Especially for a dude with money, like,
mm-hmm.
you know? But, very, very sad news.
Like, arguably the best, like, military thriller author of all time.
Oh, for my money, I can't really think of anyone better. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, there are some other good ones, but, I mean, fucking Tom Clancy, bro.
Yeah, I mean, his name just became, like, the military brand.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And, I mean, it's not so much his doing, but his name was on it. Arguably, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six first-person shooter games.
Well, all the Ubisoft, like...
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, they predate Call of Duty or, you know, Battlefield or all these games that are, like, now blockbuster successes every time there's a new edition or new sequel released.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his games were, you know, they're for the time, they were really great shooters. And they were, not all of them, but most of them were pretty, like, realistic and, you know, tactical. It wasn't like GoldenEye style, like run and gun, throw remote mine stuff. It was like, okay, let's execute this like really intricate like raid.
Yeah, the original Rainbow Six was like place your guys and put the path they're gonna go on, and then go in
and like hope that it plays out the right way.
Yeah.
And either get to play the mission or watch it. Mm-hmm. Like really cool. So yeah, I've definitely
Splinter Cell, Ghost
and
Recon.
The movies that were, of course, Ghost Recon, but even, like, the films that we got as a result of his work, or just, like, being inspired or loosely based on his work, man.
Yeah, what's your guys' favorite, like, Tom Clancy movie?
Clear and Present Danger.
Clear and Present Danger.
Clear and Present Danger is a good one.
I think I gotta go with Hunt for Red October.
Yeah, me too. Me too, just because it's so epically, like, long, and it's so epically Sean Connery, like...
Give me two pings.
Yeah, man. It just gave us so many classic, like, beautiful cinema moments. But I can't really say that there is a bad one or one that I, like, hated or was like, movie.
When, like, was it, what the hell? The one with Ben Affleck.
Some of All Fears.
Yeah, Some of All Fears.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that might have been not great, but I'm sure it was still probably better than some of the other, like, born clones that tried to happen, you know? It was still probably better than Enemy of the State.
I like Enemy of the State.
Yeah, man, I do too, but I'm just saying, at the end of the day, it's Tom Clancy.
And then, I mean, also, then, Clear and Present Danger, and then, oh crap, what was the other one? What was the other Harrison Ford one?
Clear and Present Danger is actually the sequel to this other one. So the first one was, like,
yeah, it's the Jack Ryan movies, right?
Yeah.
I was like...
I just forget the...
Hunt for October is the first one. The second one's, like, the one was family, and, like, mm-hmm. Samuel Jackson's in it, and Sean Bean's trying to kill him.
Yeah.
Right.
Then the third one is Clear and Present Danger.
Patriot Games.
Patriot Games.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Patriot Games is awesome.
Hell yeah.
It's so awesome, you forgot it.
Well, it's just one of those things, man. Like, there's a bunch of them, you know? And a lot of his movies kind of, like, tread in the same waters, so it's kind of easy to, like, confuse them or blend them into one movie that just doesn't exist.
It's kind of insane that there hasn't been more, like, movies based on the Tom Clancy books.
Well, they tried to get the Splinter Cell movie, like, years ago, and they just, like,
It's coming, I guess. Ghost Recon movie's coming.
Well, now he's really going to blow up even more than when he was alive.
Yeah.
I mean, now people are going to be like, oh my god, he was a genius. Like,
do you guys remember, have you heard of or seen anything from NetForce?
That sounds
I remember the net.
It was.
I remember it was like the internet like task force.
Yeah, he wrote some books, or he had someone else write books. So it was basically like his brand. You know, sort of like him, it was like cyber terrorism and all this stuff. They did this like hilariously awful show, or like it lasted like a couple episodes, or it might have been like a miniseries or something. But like if you go, like everything is terrible. Do like a 3-minute movie of it, and it's like you can watch a bunch of clips of it. But it's just like it's so like ridiculously 90s internet of like we got to put on our VR headsets and go into the virtual brothel and like stop this murderer from like cyber killing and stuff. It's just everything is all cyber. Everything is cyber or like, like net or like, data or. We have this data crimes happening in the cyber district.
It's like before everyone had Google to figure out like Tom Clancy just making shit up.
Yeah. It's like the Internet Task Force of police. We gotta go in this. These cyber hookers are getting murdered by a cyber Jack the Ripper or something.
Cyber Jack the Ripper.
I don't know, it was insane. Like, definitely go watch that YouTube. Like, just go on YouTube and search for 3-minute Netforce. It's hilarious. And actually, I wonder if they're gonna push it back, but it's kind of horrible timing. But I guess the trailer for the upcoming Jack Ryan movie is gonna be out tomorrow.
Wait, there's another Jack Ryan movie?
Yeah, with Chris Pine. It's kind of like, it's a prequel. It's basically like before, like it's kind of like his like first year in the CIA or like one of his first missions for the CIA.
That's what Some Involved Fears was.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, I think it's even before Some Involved Fears.
Or it's like, he's like, it's an application. It's like half the movie's him writing it out.
Yeah, he's going to Russia, and there's like this like economic attack or something that's going to happen. Or something like financial, like if they're going to try to attack like America's financial system or something. I don't know. Yeah. We'll find out in the trailer tomorrow, but it's kind of horrible timing for them. Especially if the trailer like looks kind of awful. But your hope looks good, because it sounds like I'm definitely down for like a new Jack Ryan movie. It's been like a little way too long.
It's been at least like 10 years.
Yeah. So, moving on to other news. We got some news about the World of Warcraft movie that is coming in 2015. joining the fray of 2015.
Oh, God. You know, it's like, no matter what they do, there's always going to be flaws with it. Like, everyone's going to nitpick the hell out of it.
Yeah, there's going to be, like, what was that? Was that, like, a BlizzCon or something? That dude who just stood up and, like, recited, like, this, like, ridiculous amount of lore. The guys were like, I don't know. Like, red shirt guy or whatever.
I didn't see it, but yeah, that's typically what you're going to get. That's the typical, like, fan.
Yeah, like, Azeroth the Maleficent did not do that in the Byzantium Wars of the Third Age.
Yeah. I need a ride home.
I'm going to register this on the internet, on the Reddit forum for this. I'm going to make a Reddit list of all the factual errors of this movie. So it's coming 2015. Gonna be directed by Duncan Jones, who brought us Moon and Source Code.
Yeah, I guess that's the right director.
I mean, it was gonna be Sam Raimi, and he had to drop out, so. And, might star, Colin Farrell and Paula Patton.
Because I think Warcraft, I think Colin Farrell.
Yeah. And they might be sort of like the sort of leaders of the two whatever factions that are battling in the movie.
Well, if Colin Farrell plays, I hope he's like that prince that like is good for up until a certain point where he becomes the Lich King. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, fuck. Because that was the good about the lore. I will admit, Warcraft has like a really great like lore to it, which was like really fun about the RTS version, like 1-3.
Mm-hmm.
And online is where they expand the fuck out of it, and it's just like, Jesus Christ, it's a lot of lore now.
Mm-hmm.
But up until that point where, like, it was, like you're able to follow it pretty easily. Then it got, like, spiraling out of control.
Now there's pandas.
I know. It's like, oh, this is other region that we just did not discover with, like,
shrouded in the fogs.
That's like, basically just, like, China. Like, what?
Yeah,
we just found a China on this planet.
Get your power ramen. Yeah. So, I don't know. I have not played any World of Warcraft or have any interest in World of Warcraft, so I think I'm definitely the way to our trailer, because I know, like, if nothing else, like, the cinematics are awesome. So, if they can match sort of, like, the cinematics that they've been doing for World of Warcraft, like, I'm sure the movie would be at least visually awesome.
They're probably going to rewrite the lore, like, go back. Like, they go all the way back to the beginning. That'd be cool, but...
Mm-hmm.
And they just do War of Warcraft, where, like, you kind of have to know, like, 3 games worth of content before you're playing.
Yeah, I hope there's, like a crazy, just, like, super long, just, like, opening scroll of just, like narration. Like, in the world, it's just, like, get, like, Patrick Stewart or someone just, like, narrate, like, what the hell is going on for, like, 5 minutes.
I forgot what, there was a movie that, when it came out, they like, before you watched it, like, they hand you a pamphlet with all the,
that was,
the...
They did that with Dune.
Yeah.
And Dune then, gave and you then a Dune, booklet. Then Dune still had, like, a 5-minute opening of, like, here's what's going on in this planet.
So that, they might use that tactic again, which, like, I, it works for some, because, like, you do need to know, like, some slang, yeah. Basically.
And it kind of, like, John Carter had, like, a crazy opening, where they had, like, explain everything.
Ugh. But it made it worse when you're trying to understand it. Like, that's what I like about John Carter, like, not knowing that, and then watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, we'll see.
I wonder if, like, the mainstream people are going to flock out. Like, if they make it look like Avatars, and I'm sure a lot of people would be like, oh, yeah, we'll go see that.
It's like Avatar, except way better.
From the producers of Avatar.
Is it?
I don't know.
From the people who saw Avatar.
Yeah. So, speaking of games, did you guys see the footage? Actually, I put it on the Tumblr of this, like, trailer for a Snake Plissken game that never came out.
Yeah, I did, because I put that, or I tried to put that on our Twitter, I believe I did still. Because
mm-hmm.
We would have played the shit out of that game. Good God, that looked awesome.
it was like completely ridiculous, but like in the best way possible. Like Snake was like flipping, like jumping on people's like flipping them over, like doing like crazy like leg locks on the people, and, like flipping them and like.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me a lot. Like, did you guys ever play like the Die Hard arcade game?
Yep.
Yeah.
It reminded me like that of like. Like, it was, cause it kind of seemed, they had, like, the Virtual Fighter sort of, like, early 90s, like, visuals. It's just, like, Snake Plissken just going around beating the shit out of people.
My question is, like, how far do they get before they're like, yeah, let's not do this?
Well, how far did they get until, like, Metal Gear Solid came out, and they're like, oops. Yeah, I guess...
Like, at
I
the guess, time, this is... I guess it's not so bad.
No, if that game came out in, what, 2005 when it was supposed to, that would have kicked everybody in the dick. That would have been an awesome goddamn game.
Mm-hmm.
But now looking at it, we're like, oh, it's kind of boxy. Like,
well, no, actually, it seems like they ripped the engine off of, like, Dead to Rights.
No, it's the same company that made it.
Yeah, Namco. Oh. Was
yeah, man, it's the same company that made it. So basically, that Snake game never happened, and then they took that and turned it into Dead to Rights. Which, I don't know about you, I would have much rather played, you know, Snake's Day yeah. Out, or whatever it was going to be called.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'd rather yeah. play that than Dead to Rights, man. And especially considering they got John Carpenter and Kurt Russell to sign off on both the script and the overall, like, design, and Kurt Russell was lending his likeness and his voice to the game, like, that's a big fucking deal.
Yeah.
That's so upsetting to know.
I know. And it's not even like it was some guy who, like, sounds kind of like Kurt Russell, and you're like, ah, come on. That's not him. It was, like, actual Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell Prime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it looks like it was going to be, like, a more, like, action-y Metal Gear Solid, basically.
It not basically even, looked like Siphon Filter.
Yeah, exactly, yep. I love, like, the ridiculous 90s, like, metal music that's on it, too.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
I know, that was awesome.
That was basically, like, the credit music from Halloween Night, which could do in a little bit.
Oh, stop. Don't you speak those words. Dare you.
We could do it. Anyway, moving on to other stuff. We found out that Captain America Winter Soldier is going to take place 2 years after The Avengers when it comes out next April.
Well, it's in real time.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
And from what I've seen and what I've read, it's basically like Cap and Black Widow have been doing missions for S.H.I.E.L.D. together.
Yeah, covert shit.
Yeah, and possibly Falcon.
OG Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah,
you know. I'd have to assume that's what they were going to be doing. Like, I don't think he was going to be sitting on, like, a beach in Tahiti, like, oh.
It's a magical
it
place.
It sure is great being alive.
Yeah. Yeah, Tahiti is a magical place, Joe.
Sure is.
Hey, oh, speaking of, did you guys watch latest Ages of
no,
oh man.
I did not, dude. I was far too busy last night doing a commentary.
Yep.
On a far better cinematic experience.
make sure
you, and I say yeah, that with the utmost sincerity, mind you.
Did you guys already hear about the cameo?
No.
Okay.
No, yeah, nor sure, do I want to.
Yeah, just make sure you watch, like, to the end of the episode if you guys watch it.
Fair enough, sir. Fair enough.
I really hope it's something daring that Marvel was like, and now we get, like, really deep into the lore and, like, really pull something, like, really racist from, like, the 70s characters.
Oh, that, like, boy.
They could pull, like, the most recent, one of the most recent Deadpool villains they had in the comic, the White Man. Who's like a evil pimp who turns people to stone.
Oh my god.
And he just runs around like, why does no one respect the white man? Everyone is against the white man.
Oh boy.
I was thinking like something along the lines of that where it's like the 70s villains were like disco punks or like, you know, like hot Latinos, like just something crazy and racist. Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite things ever is, I forget which Batman comic it was, but, like, Robin likes some sort of, like, crazy 80s hair metal band. And, like, they're just making the, like, teenagers of Gotham, like, commit crimes. Like,
that,
because,
like,
of their lyrics.
Like the Cobra plot?
And Batman's... Yeah, man. And it's basically, like, Batman being like, but don't you see? This is wrong, Robin. And he's like, no, it's right. I like this kind of music. And I'm like, wow, this is just fucking painful to read. Like, really fucking painful. But yeah, man, it was a weird time for everyone, the 70s and the 80s, when they really deep into the bottom of the barrel, you know?
Yeah. It's like, there was a G.I. Joe episode where Cobra made up a hair metal band called Cold Slither, and it's basically the same plot where they just, like, their music caused kids to, like, riot and stuff and like commit crimes.
Hey guys, do you want to start a band called Cold Slither?
Yes, and all we play is like Stan Bush songs.
Yeah, so sign me up for that.
Yeah.
Nice.
We just play like 30 different versions of the G.I. Joe theme song.
Pretty much.
And now the extended cut.
Yeah. We could be like Power Glove, but for action movie themes.
Yeah.
Here's our fusion metal cover of the Predator theme. Dun, 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 dun.
Now the theme from Bloodsport.
Oh, so let me just ask. Was it the Punisher? In the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing?
No.
Okay, well, then I'm not interested.
It's a character we've seen before in the movies.
Boo!
Was it Agent Coulson?
Yes, yeah. Agent Coulson is in it.
Spoiler alert, Agent Coulson is, in fact, in the episode.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he'll be in every episode, Chris.
Or will he?
That'd be the shocking twist, is like, they kill him off, and then, like, no one cares about the show anymore.
Well, that's like Avengers. Yeah.
So, moving on. We learned last week that, Bryce Dallas Howard might be starring in Jurassic World.
Good.
Yeah.
So good. Maybe like a Dr. Sattler equivalent, or like a Dr. Harding equivalent.
It's a good idea. It's an educated guess.
Is she going to be a paleontologist? Or they,
one can only hope.
Or they're going to come up with some new science for, like, the living dinosaurs.
Ooh, new science. Exotic.
Yeah, so I guess she's close to signing, and then I guess you're going to have a second sort of lead actor, and then they'll be the two, because they're having two, like, starring roles in it. And then...
Come on, Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
Jeff Goldblum
please.
Did not come back. Oh, my God. We're like,
what is he doing? He's on the league. He's not doing anything. Come on.
What if Vince Vaughn comes back?
Oh, man.
Wow. That would be something.
yo, I heard you guys want to shoot something. I got a camera. I'm going to get a sick of Pulitzer.
Damn, sign me up for that, dude.
I like how he just, like for the last, like, half hour of Lost World, he just vanishes. Because it's like,
yep.
Welp, I'm done. Actually, well, he vanishes because, like, he runs off to, like radio the helicopter, and then he's not involved in anything involving the Raptors. And then he's not involved in anything in, like, San Diego when the T-Rex gets loose.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's kind of, like, in a helicopter. He's like, bye.
Yeah, he doesn't, like, he's like, oh, what were those Raptors? Like, he's like, they don't even, like, he doesn't even see them, or they even, don't even come near where he is in, like, the maintenance shed or wherever, like, the research facility. He's, like, just completely safe the entire time.
That's beautiful.
They should get, I don't know, I'm trying to think, like, everyone else in Dressburg is, like, dead. Or, like, already came back. Like, that, like, they already brought Dr. Grant back, and it was kind of horrible, so.
Yeah.
Maybe bring back that kid from that one.
Yeah, they should bring back, Tim and Lex.
Short round?
Oh, God.
Oh, never mind.
Lex can do some more hacking.
On the Unix system.
Yeah.
I love hacking.
One of the worst GUIs I've ever seen, where it's like, you gotta fly down to each file,
I got,
and like...
Let me put on these, I gotta put on these VR headset, and like...
Virtual reality.
Oh my god, that would have just made me like, as a kid, like, awesome computer, but like, now I'm like, this is just hard to watch.
Yeah.
They should get the professor, or the doctor from VR Troopers, the like, disinterested black guy who's always stuck in the machine.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got new missions for you,
they
Ryan.
Should bring back, Samuel Jackson should come back, with like, no arm.
No, one arm. Hey, I didn't die, I just lost an arm, assholes.
Yeah. You guys, you motherfuckers left me.
Guys didn't even check for
I'm all by myself! How dare you?
Oh, man. Yeah, so Jurassic World, I think, is another 2015 release.
Oh, you're goddamn right, man.
It's 2015, it's just, I can't even comprehend it. So, last bit of news for this week is, we learned what's coming next from Vince Gilligan after the incredible Breaking Bad finale, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a little bit in show and tell.
Boy, will we.
So he actually has a show coming to CBS called Battle Creek. And I guess...
Michigan?
Yeah, Battle Creek, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
And
is it about cereal?
Yes, it's the
or Rob Van Dam.
it's the epic story of Kellogg and like.
My name is H.G. Kellogg.
Yeah,
I'm here to change the world. That'd be kind of cool.
But it's a cop show. And it's like two detectives in Battle Creek. One is innocent and honest, though the other one's sarcastic and deceptive.
Oh.
And they gotta solve crimes.
How will they get along?
Yeah. Which I really hope CBS doesn't dumb it down too much.
I don't know. This is the Blue Bloods network, so you could expect top quality.
And Hawaii 5-0. And I don't know about Thunder. But I guess Vince Gilligan, like, he had the show, like, basically created and ready to go in, like, a pilot in, like, 2002. Like, right after X-Files. Mm-hmm. And then, no one wanted it. And then it was like, well, I'm gonna go make Breaking Bad now.
Bye, guys.
Yeah.
Fuck the haters.
I'm gonna go make the greatest show in television history, arguably.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, so he's gonna be, yeah, I guess he's not running the show, I guess. He's just going to be, like, an executive producer, sort of J.J. Abrams style.
Cool.
And then he's also going to, obviously, be doing Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Which I think is way more exciting news. But, I mean, it's Vince Gilligan, so I'm sure we'll check out at least the pilot episode of Battle Creek and see what it's all about.
Oh, yeah.
I'm definitely interested to see who they cast as, like, the two detectives.
Yeah, I'd like to see what it winds up being, too, for sure.
Bryan Cranston and Dean Norris.
Wow, I would simultaneously jizz and shit in my pants at the same time if that happened.
Mm-hmm. I think Dean Norris is unfortunately going to be trapped on under the dome for a while.
Emphasis on trapped, yeah.
Because, I mean, it's kind of horrible, but, like, its ratings are, like, ridiculously through the roof, so...
Because people just want to know what the hell it is. What is it?
It's hilarious because, like, Dean Norris is basically, like, the Walter White of that show. He's just doing, like, awful, awful things to people.
Nice.
So, anyway, so that's it for news this week. Is there anything else you guys can think of we need to talk about? Alrighty. Nope. So, moving on to New York Roundup for the week. And our pick of the week is This Is the End.
Nice.
Which, I haven't seen the whole thing. I've seen bits and pieces of it at the movie theater that I work at. And it seems pretty goddamn hilarious. So I'm definitely super excited to see the whole thing. And just pretty much, like, James Franco, Jonah Hill, Seth Rogen, Jay Baruchel, Dan Aykroyd, Kurt Robinson, just as themselves at a party and the apocalypse happens. And they have to, like, survive at James Franco's house.
Yeah, I didn't see it, and I really want to.
Spoiler alert. I'll be seeing it.
Yeah, I definitely, like, definitely sometime this weekend I'm going to Redbox that thing. So,
oh, yeah.
So, also this week we have Little Mermaid Diamond Edition.
Ooh.
Cool.
First time on Blu-ray, I believe.
Ice.
The Croods is out this week.
Oh, was that caveman
movie?
Nicolas Cage
is a caveman, yeah. And, like, Emma Stone, Ryan Reynolds and stuff.
For, like, an all-star cast, it had no marketing.
This is moderately true, yeah. Yeah,
it was,
yeah.
Like, a week before it came out, I was like, The Croods? Like, what? I remember seeing it, like, on a bus stop, and I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a thing.
Oh, yeah. I suppose that is happening.
There's way too many, like, kids movies this summer. Like, they all just, like, devoured each other and didn't make any money. Like, Smurfs 2 and Planes and all these other movies, like, they bombed horribly.
Aw, man. Like, there's no, like, Planes the first week. They just pulled the marketing. It was, like, so bad.
Yeah. It was supposed to be a direct-to-TV movie, and they just, like, nope, we're gonna throw it in theaters because we have no Cars movie this year.
Yeah, people like Ryan Reynolds, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I have How I Met Your Mother, Season 8.
Cool.
Where I believe we finally meet who the mother is at the end of that season.
Season 9.
Well, it was the end of, like, the last season. They revealed her. Now she's, like, a major character in the last season, I guess. Or the season.
Really? Yeah. I'm sure. I'm still watching it. Like, I'm in Season 5, so.
Mm-hmm.
I watch it, like, once every few months. And it's not bad in small settings.
Yeah. Wizard of Oz, 75th Anniversary Edition. Is on Blu-ray this week. I believe it's also 3D.
Cool.
Second season of New Girl.
It's not new anymore.
The Frozen Grounds on this week. Nicolas Cage versus John
Cusack. Oh, I can't wait for that.
It's like The Apprentice versus the Master of, like, ridiculous acting.
Oh, yeah. So you learned my style. Now it's time to challenge the most.
I am your style.
Based on that true story of, like, this Alaska murder. House of Wax, the original one, is out on 3D Blu-ray this week.
Wow, really? 3D Blu-ray?
Yep.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Volcano is on Blu-ray this week.
Ah. I saw that in theaters. What a great movie.
It is. Yeah, it is ridiculous in the best way possible.
Oh, fuck yeah, man.
Fucking, like, we got to blow up this building to save to save everybody. Oh, wait, my daughter's in the building. And, like, the guy, like, fucking, like, jumps in the subway and, like, carries the guy out of the subway. And it's like he's melting as he's carrying the guy.
Ah, that was tremendous.
Uh-huh. It's like, Jimmy, no!
Remember, they just watched him melt.
Yeah. And he almost did like the Terminator thumbs up or something at the end of it. Also have Fright Night 2, New Blood, which is a sequel to the Fright Night remake, starring no one from the remake.
Great.
Which, the remake, pretty solid.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like, you saw it, right, Chris?
Oh, right. No, yeah, you guys spoke about this. It actually sounded
Colin Farrell is hilariously, like,
he's
in
so
it.
Hammy in it. Yeah. Like, it's so great.
Hey, guys, your mom home?
What a banger mom. I mean, what? Hey. Banger
mom and your girlfriend. Your girlfriend's ripe, bro.
Now watch it, buddy. Hit some of that. And it's like, whoa, Colin Farrell.
Yeah. Yo, bro, you got any beer? I'm all up.
Hey, yeah, here's some shitty Bud Light, like Budweiser.
I'm all about Budweiser.
You want to order some Za?
No! Yeah. We got Ninja Turtles Ultimate Showdown, which is a couple of a selection of episodes from the new Nickelodeon show. Have you guys seen any episodes of that?
Cool. I have
like
not.
Half an episode.
It's somewhere between like the Super Series like 2003 show and like the original Goofy show.
Yeah, it definitely is a mix.
It's building some decent mythology, but it's also like got a lot of wacky parts to it as well.
Well, because it's on Nickelodeon, so like every now and then they do some like weird physical comedy where it's like, this is unnecessary.
And a lot of like anime or like Speed Racer sort of things where it's like super exaggerated or like they like do like these like emotion, like their eyes get huge or something, like that.
Yeah, it's. I think Looney Tunes did it first, so let's go with that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's definitely appealing to that weird like international anime style stuff, but. I mean, I haven't watched the whole season where, like, they introduce things, the clan, and, like, all the other members. They're just kind of like, here's Shredder, his weird robot mutant army, and April O'Neil's, like, a 14-year-old girl.
Yep.
Which I'm just like, oh, it's so weird.
I'm going to say it again. The comic that's going on right now is probably the best Ninja Turtles story that's ever been told.
I'll read it eventually.
Like, fucking, like, Leonardo is, like, Shredder's apprentice now.
Whoa, dark.
And they just, they're like Shredder just, like, straight up, like, gut stabbed Casey Jones. It's pretty crazy. Also, have Phineas and Ferb, Mission Marvel, which is, I think is, like, the first, like, official, like, Disney property crossing over with the Marvel properties.
Is that the one where, like, they meet, like, Nick Fury?
They meet, like, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Hulk, and Thor.
So, I don't watch the show, but now that's, like, of all characters, like, to meet that, like, if I had a fever dream 20 years ago that was like, hey, it would be really cool if Mickey Mouse hung out with Spider-Man, they'd put me away. They would fucking put me away.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's, like, this is happening.
Also have the Amityville Horror Trilogy, which is the original James Brolin, Margot Kidder trilogy of Amityville Horror movies. Murder, She Wrote, the complete series. And also Magnum P.I., the complete series, out this week as well.
Ah, powerful.
Bond 50 gets released with Skyfall included.
So damn. Bond 50 again?
It's 160 right now.
Yeah, but like the first edition came out like
last Christmas. And there's a slot for Skyfall. Now this one is like Skyfall's included, so if you don't have any Bond movies yet, you can buy that set and then be ready. Short Circuit 1 and 2 are on Blu-ray this week in a double feature.
Gritty reboot. Need it.
Yes, we do. Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad Volume 2 is out this week.
Wait, there's a Volume 1?
Yep.
God damn.
25 episodes including this volume.
You guys talk about weird internet like shows. I didn't quite understand what internet was.
Yeah.
That's an example.
Weren't they fighting, like, sentient computer viruses?
Yeah, it was like some guy in his computer room talking to Tim Curry, and they'll summon like weird
viruses,
monsters to
yeah.
like viruses through the internet.
Yeah.
Even though it's like it's electronics that didn't have internet connection, like.
And then
I remember one monster was like an air conditioned monster.
Yeah.
It was just like, what the fuck?
And then it, like Superhuman Saturday Night Squad had to like go into the computers and fight them on the internet. And they were also a rock band.
Yeah, that if they hit a certain guitar string, he would go into the internet.
Yeah. Become like whatever the is like was it Zevo or something? I can't remember what the character's like his like armored character was.
That was basically Ultraman, but
yeah.
like America apparently did not want to believe that. And then sometimes he'll drive the tank or the like weird like aircraft they had.
Yeah.
So bad. They always like rotated who got to drive it too.
I love the intro of that show with like the crazy just like game show announcer just like describing the story. Well, they have to look out for the evil Deathstroke, or whatever this guy's villain's name is, and the evil hacker. But look, here's the heroic rock band to save the day and the internet. So, yes, that's it for new releases of the week. So, why don't we get into show and tell and kick things off? Why don't we talk about something we all watched earlier this week, which will be going up next week for everybody. we talk about it just quick because I know it was like a trying experience
for
everybody. We watched Halloween Night, which is the Asylum trying to rip off Halloween.
Not the movie, the holiday.
Yes, just destroying the holiday. So that'll be a commentary slash podcast slash End of the Asylum next week while we're at New York Comic Con. Yeah, my God, that movie was awful.
It was... I didn't know what was going on.
It's like we learned like how not to pull a prank, how not to throw a Halloween party.
How like steam is like this ultra corrosive like material that could just
steam.
Fuck up
if
your
you
whole body.
If you steam, your entire body turns into like beef jerky.
How like you should really question your parents' tactics and like their marriages, because again, it's like the movie starts because some husband and wife like had a fight or something in the past. It's not even implied. Just like I want to do something to my wife. He hires like thugs that rough her up, and then like because of that. Like their son gets steamed, cooked.
Yeah.
The father commits suicide over guilt. The mom gets shot after like, I think what was rape. We don't even know. And then it's like a killer is born, and
yeah.
It's like this is the weakest origin tale, and I don't give a crap anymore.
And then going to like the worst Halloween party of all time.
Oh man, like we've seen movies try to represent Halloween parties. Some of them look good, some of them look bad. This is like an example of what. Like, if you Yahoo, like, team party, like, this is what you
Yahoo
see.
Yahoo answers,
like,
how do I throw a Halloween party?
It's like, get a bunch of your friends, wear a theme, and then fuck with their mind. Like, what?
Yeah. Yo, bro, it's supposed to be psychological horror, not medieval decadence.
The fact that he used those words, and we're just like, how did he know to say that? But
especially,
like,
yeah, that's a school word.
Especially considering, like, the rest of the dialogue is like, I don't know, bro.
Yeah, like, he pulls out a $10 word out of his ass.
Yeah.
Just like, decadence. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And, like, clearly that guy, that the main, like, douchebag guy who throws the party is like, he had no lines. No one wrote any lines for him. They're just like, just make up stuff.
This is definitely, like we said, like, this is nepotism. Or, like, he's related to someone.
Yeah.
And he just got involved, and like, hey, you're like gonna be our second protagonist, I think, because we didn't know who the protagonist was until like,
neither did
it
they.
Was established, yeah. And then even at the end, we're kind of like, this is it, this is our protagonist.
Well, they didn't even have like, there wasn't even like a final girl or anything, because like, they're all like super like dumb and helpless.
Yeah, it got to the point where we started hating everyone, so like we didn't care, and the movie just didn't care. The killer didn't care; he just kind of did things.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just kind of like this happenstance killer. Like, think about it. Like, Michael Myers was like, I'm going to fuck up everyone. This killer was like, steam. And then he was like,
yeah.
The perfect opportunity for me to escape. And then, hey, I was literally, like, hitchhiking.
I guess I'll go to this Halloween party.
Yeah, oh, I'm in this crazy Halloween party by chance. Oh.
He's doing, like at some
point, I've been taken hostage. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
He's the killer and he gets taken hostage by a Ramon. He got taken hostage by a goddamn
Ramon.
And then
kills the Ramon and then still goes back to the party.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I just want to kiss my first girl. And maybe have some of this jungle juice.
Why is it no one love me?
Pretty much. Maybe because your face looks like a fucking Freddy Krueger shit. Like, I don't even know.
Yeah. I think it was all worth it, though, for the end scene where he puts on, he puts on the best disguise in movie history, where it's like a paper plate. Which,
yeah,
paper plate that barely covers his face, and he draws a face on it, and it's upside down.
Like, I damn near pissed myself when that happened.
Oh my god. I want to make
that was incredible.
I want to make that like my Twitter profile picture or like my Facebook
you should.
Profile.
You should. Man, between that and like that awful, like forced, awkward, like softcore lesbian crap that was going on for like most of the movie with those two like not exactly top tier girls. Like, yeah. It was
the director's
just
cousins.
Bizarre. It was just sad.
Yeah.
I mean, Asylum's really known for its budget, like, budget films and stuff, but I'm like, god damn, like, this has to be one of the worst Asylum movies I've ever seen.
Hey, man,
yeah,
I enjoyed I Am Omega, okay?
Well, that was actually had, like, a set, a plot.
Yeah,
like,
I'm saying, and Mark Dacascos, don't forget.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like I'm seeing, like, because I've been watching all of them. So,
yeah, we know.
It's like a pattern. I feel like there's a pattern where it's like...
I feel like I'm starting to think like them.
Yeah.
But I'm one with them.
I think, like, Zach, I think you're number 23
yeah.
in this.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I put all these crazy things together.
This girl was in this movie, too. Oh, my God, what's going on? But no, I feel like they have, like, a movie where they get, like, an actual recognized person, and then that's their budget for, like, the next two movies, so they have to get, like, nobody.
Yeah,
They get, like, family
it's
members.
Like, well... We had to pay C. Thomas Howell, so now we have no money for us these other two movies. So it's like, make some stupid horror movies, and then we'll have another big movie with, like, Lance Erickson.
Like, the thing I can't figure out is, like, it's like the Ed Wood theory of filmmaking, where, like, he asks for money for, like, a two-picture deal, and they make one decent one and one terrible one.
Yeah.
Yet they still keep getting funding to do this again, over and over again. It's like,
and they do his, like, one thing of, like, one shot is done.
Yeah, I felt this movie was taken all in one take. There was no, like, okay, can we say that line again?
Nope. You're like, fuck it, that's good enough, nope. Whatever.
Especially,
no one's gonna notice.
Especially, like, Dave or Steve, whatever the hell his name was.
Steve Dave?
Yeah.
I feel like a phrase that was definitely said a lot on set was, it's okay.
Yep. Moving on.
No, it's fine.
Or...
That'll do.
Good job, bro.
Or, like, yeah, like, I really, really got pissed halfway through was, we keep bringing this up, this was, like, they had the audacity to say, like, this is based on true events. And I'm like,
yeah,
when?
Uh-huh.
Like, maybe this guy's acting was based on true events, but, like...
Yo, bro, we threw this party one time at Halloween, and we pulled this awesome prank. But then the cops got called. But it was pretty awesome, bro.
Like, that I believe, but that can't be the plot of a whole
thing. And then someone else was like, yo, bro, what if a serial killer came to your party and you didn't even know it?
Bro, that would be, like, the best prank ever.
Yeah. And then you guys had to, like, fight the serial killer, and there was, like, some lesbians in it and stuff, just for, like, just for flavor. That'd be awesome, bro.
You know, the thing I couldn't figure out was, another thing I realized was, like, that guy who hosted the party, how is he good friends with, like, those lesbians? Because I feel like
They stayed at his, like, whatever that cabin was, or, like, that lake vacation house, or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah,
like, the mountain retreat, there's also the murder house.
Like, okay, but it's like, this guy's so ignorant and so, like, stupid. How does he have this many friends that are just like, yeah, we're all good friends,
yeah.
Like, somehow?
I feel like his parents are, like, doctors or something, or lawyers, and, like, they're, like, they don't give a shit about what he does.
I don't know. Like, usually cliches, like, have cliches, but then you throw in, like, weird stereotypes that, like, are different, like, mucus cliches that, like, shouldn't be friends. You know, like...
Yep.
This guy's stupid enough to hire, like, a Ramon lookalike to, like, mug his own party and then like still be friends with like
And not, like none of his friends, know who that guy is, even though it's like apparently like the guy's best friend.
Yeah. Like, hey, I saw this guy in a photo of yours.
It's like Bobby? No, bro, I'm not Bobby.
Right, you're Bobby. You just put on a leather jacket. It doesn't change what you look like.
Yeah.
Nope, not me, bro.
I'm Bobby with this one with sunglasses, bro.
I mean, unless we're, like, discrediting, like, maybe the host guy was actually really friendly with everyone, so he's able to, like, pull off these weird parties.
Yeah.
Like, where different cultures kind of collide.
We mentioned, like, he had, like, a Halloween, like, a haunted house the year before or something, and tried to prank everybody again.
But didn't he tell them ahead of time, like, I'm pranking you?
Yeah.
Which is, like, even lamer.
It's still, like, what is the end goal of that prank? To get the cops called? Because if it is, mission accomplished.
If that happened, you didn't need a prank. Just fucking call the cops yourself.
Yeah. Oh, God. It was so terrible. And you guys, everyone can watch it along with us next week when that goes up.
You sure can.
Yeah. Experience,
we encourage it.
Experience the magic with us.
Okay, another thing we're pointing out is we're complaining more about the setting than the actual, like, killer part. Or the fact that, like, the victims are, like, one-dimensional, so we didn't care if they died.
Mm-hmm.
There's no tension. It's kind of like, yep, die already. Die already.
Well, I mean, if you've seen any horror movie before, you know the second a scene starts, it's like, yep, that person's dead. So. But actually, speaking of the asylum, I also watched last weekend for the previous Enter the Asylum, I watched 666, The Child.
Ooh.
Which is the asylum trying to capitalize on the Omen remake from 2006.
Nice.
And I'm going to say probably the best asylum movie I've watched so far. And,
really?
Yeah. Cause
you got me with that one.
It's, well, first of all, it's only like an hour, so it won't take up too much of your time.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, it's barely like an hour and 10 minutes, even though it says like an hour and 25 minutes, but they stretch out the credits for like 10 minutes, as they always do.
Love it.
But yeah, it is, like, it's worth watching just for, like, the deaths, because the deaths are hilariously over the top. For, like, and for, like, the dumbest reasons possible. Like, the basic plot is there's a plane crash, and this kid survives, and this reporter and her cameraman husband adopt him, because they reported on him, so now they have, like, legal ownership of him or something, or, like, legal claim to him, because they reported on the story. So, they take him home, and it turns out he's, like, the son of Satan or something, or the usual sort of, like, demon child thing that goes on. But he just, like, murders people for, like, the, like, smallest annoyance. Right at the beginning, like, there's, like, he's in the hospital after the plane crash, and, like, this, like, doctor goes into, like, pulls this nurse into, like, a janitor's closet next door and, like, starts banging her. And, you can hear it through the walls, and, like, the kid, Donald's, like, super annoyed by it. So, like, he basically, like, uses his, like, psychic powers to, like, cause a steam pipe to fall from the ceiling and, like, hit the nurse in the head, and it, like, blows, like, bloody steam into the doctor's face and kills him.
Nice.
And then, like, he kills, like, his adopted grandpa after, like, he gets hit in the face with a baseball playing catch. Like, the next night, he's just like, you hurt my teeth, grandpa, you're dead. And, like, drives a ceiling fan on him.
Okay.
And then, like, probably the best one, though, is, like, he kills, like, his, like, adopted dad's best friend in, like, this tool shed, and it's, like, every single tool in the shed just, like, comes to life and, like, kills him. Like, he gets, like, stabbed by, like, a drill, and then, like, a lawnmower comes and, like, cuts his hand off, and then, like, he eventually, like, a saw flies at his face, and, like, he, like, tries to grab it, like, it cuts into his face.
Nice.
And it's just, like, the story is, like, hilariously, like, stupid, and, like, it's got some awful, awful dialogue, but it doesn't, like, unlike Halloween Night, like, it doesn't really drag as much as that one does. Like, it's moves along at, like, a really stupid clip.
Well, we can all be thankful for that.
Hmm.
And actually, it's kind of, like, and actually, like, the kid apparently gets away with it at the end, too, because, like, everyone gets murdered, basically.
Oh,
Does it also say based on a true story?
No, it doesn't.
Damn.
But I guess there's a sequel called 666 The Beast, which I'm sure I'll be watching in a couple weeks, so. So, yeah, if you want to laugh at a pretty awful horror movie, 666 Child's a pretty good, hilarious choice. And then also what I watched, movie-wise, I saw Redemption, the latest from Jason Statham.
Nice.
Previously known as Hummingbird.
Hummingbird.
It was pretty good. It's definitely not your typical Jason Statham movie. Because it's kind of Jason Statham trying to like show off his like acting chops. I would kind of compare it a little bit to like JCVD.
Really?
Where it's like not really. It's not about like it's got Statham in it, but it's not like really about like the typical Statham stuff. Although there is quite a bit of like Statham fighting in a suit and like driving a car. So,
oh wow, that's new.
Which, like, I was kind of afraid, like, everything I heard about, like, Statham, like, oh man, it's a drama. I'm trying to show off my dramatic chops in this movie. But then, like, basically what the plot is, like, he was in, like, Afghanistan or Iraq or somewhere, and, like, his entire squad got killed. And then he went on, like, this, like, revenge mission, like, hung, like, a bunch of people in, like, this village. And then, basically, like, returned to London and became, like, a bum. And then he basically, like one night on the street, like, he's trying to get away from, like, these, like, guys who, like, basically come around and, like, harass all the homeless people for, like, money and, like, drugs and stuff. Statham escapes from them and gets on a rooftop and, like, falls into, like, an apartment. And it turns out, luckily, that the guy who owns the apartment is, like, super rich and is not going to be back for, like, an entire summer. And so, basically, Statham just, like, takes over this guy's identity and, like, lives in his apartment for, like, a year.
A year?
Yeah, like, he falls into, like, the apartment in, like, March, and the guy's not going to be back, won't be back to his apartment until, like, October.
Jesus.
And so, like, Statham starts wearing his suits and, a ton of money out of his, like, ATM account, and, like, just, like, it's, like, and then he gets, but then he gets a job as, like, the, like, a driver slash enforcer for, like, the Chinese, like, triads. But then he's also, like, trying to get a relationship with, like, this, like, local nun. She works with the homeless people, and like basically like, just is like trying like getting her gifts and stuff, and like trying to like impress her, and like
it's really hard to court a nun. Like, I haven't tried it, but I imagine it's like really hard.
Yeah, so basically it's just like Statham just beating the shit out of people and like then using the money to like buy like all his like homeless friends like pizzas and like buying like dresses for the nun and stuff. And then it has this really weird, like, I don't even know what the message is, but, like, basically at one point, Statham's, like, every time I get sober, like, people get hurt, so that's why I always, like, try to stay drunk and, like, unfit and drunk so I don't hurt people. And I was like, has this happened before? Like, have you, like, fallen into an apartment before and then, like, got super fit again and, like, started, like, beating the shit out of people and then became homeless again?
It's just
like a cycle that you go through. Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, definitely no one can expect it, like Transporter or Crank, but if you want to check out a pretty good Statham movie, I'd say definitely best Statham movie from the year so far. Which I can't think of. Was there another one this year?
I don't think so.
I know we got Homefront coming up in November.
Boy, do we.
Up against Gator. Oh yeah, Parker. Yeah. Redemption is way better than Parker.
Oh right.
Yeah, by a mile.
Cool. I'll have to check it out.
And then ton of TV. Checked out a couple new shows. I watched the Goldbergs. Have you guys seen the show or heard of the show?
I haven't seen the second episode, but I was a big fan of the premiere.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like Jeff Garlin.
I just fucking love Jeff Garlin.
Any show where it ends with Jeff Garlin singing REO Speedwagon is okay in my book. And like the second episode, like if you see the second episode of Joe, like they go roller derby or like roller skating.
Oh boy!
It's like Jeff Garlin roller skating for like most of the episode.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, and
who runs like that?
Yeah. And basically, like, the guy who made the show, Adam Goldberg, is basically like, based on his family, and it's set in the 80s, so there's, like, a ton of, like, 80s references, and it's all, like, I don't know. They reference like a ton of 80s stuff. There's like 80s toys and 80s posters and 80s clothes all over the place. But it's also kind of weird. Like, it's also like, it's kind of like the inception of nostalgia. Cause it's also like, it's like a parody or like a takeoff of like Wonder Years, which is also a nostalgia show about, it came out in like the 80s, about the 60s. That's cause it's weird, like looping like layers of nostalgia going on in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I love the fact that Patton Oswalt voice that narrates the entire show.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, definitely, like, I haven't watched any of the other ABC comedies, but, I mean, this seems like
it's
definitely
better than Dad's, I'll give you that.
Oh, my God. I haven't seen Dad's yet.
Oh, my God. I watched the pilot, and I was, like, grossed out by how terrible it was.
I've heard it's, like, the worst show possibly ever made.
It's really, really bad. Like, it's not funny at all, and it's not even so bad that it's funny. It's just terrible. It's just really fucking bad.
Do you remember the other, like, Seth MacFarlane live-action show that he did, The Winner, with Rob Corddry?
No.
The last, like, three episodes?
Yeah. Well, Dad's might only last two, so.
Yeah. Which, and it's crazy because, like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is right after it, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine is amazing.
I still haven't seen any of that, but I plan on binging on it this weekend.
It just, like, it's every week is just, it's like, it feels like the second season of a show. Like, it's that, like, solid, and, like, everyone is, like,
fit. Oh, wow. Well, that's good. Shit.
Like, everyone is just, like, every single character just, like, clicks with every single other character. It's fantastic.
I like it.
And also two other not really fantastic shows. I watched the first episode of Hostages.
Oh.
Which is like CBS. I think it's gonna be like a mini series. Not even gonna be like a, because that's like, it's like eight episodes or something.
Oh, a mini series like American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Okay, and now in its third season.
Yeah. But it's got Dylan McDermott and who else is in it?
Serious question, is there anything that Dylan McDermott won't be in?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Yeah, and Toni Collette is the other one. But basically, like, what's going on is, like, Toni Collette is, like, the surgeon who's going to operate on the president, and Dylan McDermott's, like, this rogue FBI agent who comes up and, like, is, like, connects his family and be like, you have to...
He's a rogue.
Yeah, but you're going to kill the president during the surgery for some reason because it's good for America or something. I think he's like some sort of like ultra-nationalist or like ultra-patriot or something. But yeah, it's pretty goddamn awful. Like they give every family member like the most like cliche and obvious like secret that they're keeping. Like the dad is like cheating on the wife, and the sister, like the older sister's pregnant, and the little brother is dealing drugs, and like none of the other family members know anything about all these other anything that's going on. And it's like the first episode is like, oh, and here's this guy's secret, and here's this guy's secret. Oh, here's their secret. And it was just like super boring, and I'm not gonna watch any other episodes of it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, it doesn't sound good.
No, it was. It's just it's completely mediocre.
Gotcha.
And then also kind of mediocre is I watched the first episode of Ironside.
Okay.
Did either guys see this one or this one about this one?
No.
I know it's a remake.
Yeah, it's a remake of a Raymond Burr show from like the 60s or 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically Blair Underwood is Robert Ironside, and he is a cop who is in a wheelchair after an accident. He got shot in the spine on the job, and now he's in a wheelchair. And now he leads like this like special...
Wheels and the leg man.
Basically. It's been, like, he has like four leg men with him.
Oh, man, that's a lot of work, man.
It's because he has, like, this special, like, task force, like, the Wheels task force that, like, helps him. And, like, they, like,
that's
operate
cool.
Above the law. They, like, operate, like, away from the other cops. It's like Steve,
I'm
like,
above
like,
the law.
Like Steven Seagal, like, whatever the hell their unit was style.
Oh, God.
But it's just, like, it's so, like, it's just, like, it's a completely just mediocre, like, procedural show. Like, if you've seen, like, Law and Order or any other show, like, mm-hmm. It's basically just that, where it's, like, oh man, we gotta solve this suicide of this, like, girl who jumped off a broker office.
Oh, no. But how can we do that?
But yeah, and it's also like, they're just like ripping, there's like going off on this gimmick of like, oh man, he has a different perspective in that wheelchair. He can see things other people can't.
He can see things 3 feet closer.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's just like, that was the
like
gimmick.
They go to like this like Russian drug dealer's house who got murdered, and like he rolls up to the couch and like he's like picks up a gun, and like the chief or whatever is there is like, oh man, how'd you spot that gun? He's like, I got a different view of the world down here, man.
Oh my god.
It's just like, it's so, like, and then it's like, he's like, he seems like he's like super like bipolar too, because like sometimes he's like super cool and like super like just laid back, and other times he's like freaking out and having flashbacks of like his accident. There's this part where like he's like working out in his apartment, is like having like this like flashback of when he got shot, and it's like he's just working out like getting like more and more freaked out, and like, by the end just like yelling at his apartment building by the end of it.
Nice.
It's not good.
Like, I think in the original Ironside, like, at least it was the 60s, and, like, handicap accessibility wasn't a thing, so.
It's probably unique. Like, at this point, we have, like, a gazillion, like, special cop shows.
Yeah.
I think my favorite was Blind Justice, though.
They ran out of gimmicks, so it's just, like, we have no, like, what else? We have, like, yeah, we have Blind Justice, we have, like, Mentalist, we have Psychics, we have a detective.
We have females as detectives.
Photographic memory. Like
total yeah.
memory we have.
It's like now when she is a woman, she's a woman really, that can remember shit. Like,
OCD.
Oh.
OCD is a superpower.
Lying, which was psych, I think.
Seagalism.
Well, no, wasn't psych like he didn't actually have like mentalist powers, but he just is a good bullshitter.
Well, he's basically mentalist because all the mentalist is like he's super observant, but then they both make people think they're like psychic or something. Because they just like they're basically like it's like what Sherlock does too. It's just like super observant, like checks everything out. But yeah, would not recommend either Ironside or Hostages. Oh, and the last thing I watched was did you guys watch Mortal Kombat Legacy 2?
Not yet, but it's on my to do list.
Yeah, so apparently last Thursday or Friday. The second season of Mortal Kombat Legacy, which is the web series. All 10 episodes are on Machinima's YouTube channel right now, so you can actually just go watch all of them. Not like, sweet. Last season they did it like week by week.
One at a time, yeah.
Now, yeah, so it's Netflix style this year, where it's just like,
wow.
Pop them all in one day.
Sweet.
And I watched them all in one day. And I think it's a huge step up from last season, even though last season was pretty awesome. You can definitely tell they have way more money and way more, like, more interesting story, because it's actually like, the tournament's on now, so the first season was like last year. It was a lot of like, oh, here's where the characters are before the tournament, and then this is how they get to the tournament. And now this season is like, oh, and now they're in the tournament. And it's kind of like
the tournament.
And it's kind of it feels a little bit like Battle Royale or Hunger Games, where it's just like they're apparently just like unleashed on this island, and it's like running into each other and killing each other. Is that like set? Like it's not like set fights. It's just like,
oh, okay.
You run into each other, you fight each other. And they got some like more recognizable stars this year. Like Casper Van Dien is Johnny Cage.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then they got I never remember his name, but I think it's like Kira Tagawa. The original Shang Tsung from the Mortal Kombat movie is back.
Yep.
As Shang Tsung.
Yep.
No, it's Johnny Tsunami's grandfather.
Yes. And then, like, Mark Dacascos is Kung Lao.
Yes. Which is weird, because they made him, like, uber monk.
Yeah. And then... Actually, it's weird, like, there's, like, two... Like, both of them are on Hawaii 5-0, but, like, Ian Anthony Dale is Scorpion.
Mm-hmm.
And he was Scorpion last season.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do... And then, like, they had some new characters like that were in the first season, like Kenshi's in this season, Ermac, Striker.
Ermac.
Yep.
The useless red ninja.
He's actually like this crazy like goblin character in the
Well, in this, yeah. Because yeah. They have to make him like.
In Mortal Kombat 9, like the most recent game, he was like this weird like demon ninja.
Oh really? Oh, yeah. I didn't even play that shit.
Yeah, Striker, he's like the shit beat out of him in like 5 minutes. But I do have like a pretty funny like stun gun joke that do. And they do like some crazy things, like Liu Kang. Like Liu Kang is like a villain now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a different approach, I'd say.
And definitely, like, I don't know how, like, where, like, if they're going from, like, all mythology of Mortal Kombat, but they're pulling from, like, everywhere. Like, they go into, like, the whole, like, Scorpion, Sub-Zero clans rivalries and all that stuff, and, like, the Katana Molina backstories, and, like, Liu Kang's backstories and all that stuff, and, like, they reference, like, previous tournaments and stuff, so I don't know if, like, the movie is canon to this, but...
It couldn't be, because, like, Johnny Cage didn't survive a movie.
Yeah, but, like, they say, like, Liu Kang, like, defended Earth before or something in the new season. Or, like, you've done this before, Liu Kang, why are you turning your back on us?
Maybe they're talking about him leaving the temple.
Yeah, maybe. It's like...
I don't know. Lord Raiden, forgive him.
Yeah, but it's
too much television.
It's like a super awesome, like, super awesome take on Mortal Kombat. Like, if you're a fan of Mortal Kombat,
man.
It's pretty awesome. And hopefully this guy gets to make a movie at some point.
I thought he was supposed to. I thought they, like, offered it up to him, but I guess that didn't really pan out.
Yeah.
I mean, as of yet.
And hopefully you're getting a season 3 because it ends on a cliffhanger.
I'm sure we will.
I mean, the first season did pretty awesome view-wise. I think this one's doing pretty awesome as well, so...
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, to segue into, I'm sure Joe has been watching, Breaking Bad.
What's that?
Yeah, this little show that ended this past week. I don't think anyone really watched it.
Oh, it's some indie pilot?
Yeah, some Sundance Channel show.
Oh, wow, okay. Surprised I haven't heard about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was possibly the best hour in the history of television.
Definitely one of the best series finales I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, it was perfect. And I'm not exaggerating, and I don't think I'm sucking its dick here, but like it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It did what it had to do, and at the same time, it left enough open-ended so that it doesn't sort of write itself into any corners.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, this isn't really a spoiler, but Jesse, you know, Jesse survives, mm-hmm. or whatever you want to call it, okay? But his ending, I guess the Jesse ending, if this were a video game with multiple endings,
mm-hmm.
Is, I guess, positive, but... It's very much open-ended.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know what becomes of Jesse. You don't even really see any sort of, like...
Hint at what he's going to do? Or...
Yeah, like, there's no sort of hint or indication of what's going on. Like, I saw one review online actually compared it to the original ending of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where the girl jumps on the back of the pickup truck and gets away from Leatherface and just starts kind of laughing, like, maniacally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really insane and out of control just because she's so, like, overwhelmed with, like, joy that she was able to get out of there. I see the, you know, the parallels, obviously. But it's cool because you could basically make it what you want. You know, like, with Jesse's ending.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can basically be like, oh, he rides off into the sunset and settles down and has 10 kids, or he drives into a tree. Like, it's basically,
yeah.
It's basically up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or he goes to Need for Speed.
He just drives right to the start of the race.
Well, that's actually pretty funny because that was a pretty good meme. but yeah, man, it was just perfect. It really was. And then like you still get that like last, not last ditch, but that sort of final, like, excellent, like, Heisenberg plot. But
the whole
then
episode,
you also...
like, I love, like, basically this, like, Walt just, like, just destroyed everyone.
Don't spoil it.
Yeah. Well, you might want to earmuff it, motherfucker, but, I mean, I'm just saying, like, they showed the duality perfectly of, you know, the Walter White and then Heisenberg.
Yeah.
Because he had on like, one hand,
he had these super like badass like revenge moments. Then he had like these like pretty like he had like the one like reconciling moment with Skylar. Right. And
like in a way, it's almost like we haven't seen him sincerely be Walter White or sincerely be Heisenberg that much in the series. There's always like a balancing act, but like in this particular episode, he's 100% of both,
mm-hmm.
which is strange. I mean, like when he's on the phone with his son in that bar in the episode before, you know, it's kind of like the first time we see the real Walter White again, where he really is about like, it's not about the lie anymore of that this is all for the family,
mm-hmm.
you know? And like when he has that moment with Skylar, like it really is the first time that you're like, wow, like he's back to actually like caring about them and not just trying to throw money at them. Like trying to get them the money is caring, but it's not the same as like the Walt that we're introduced to at the beginning.
Man, the way he finally gets the money to them is amazing too.
Well, that and that's what I was gonna say. That's another Walter White like cunning thing that we get to see, because Heisenberg would have done something totally different.
Yeah.
In that situation, Heisenberg would have done the you know, the what he winds up doing at the end of the episode, mm-hmm. to sort of like get his, you know, give everyone their comeuppance. But like, yeah, like that little like twist or whatever was great, because it shows us, it gives like a curtain call or whatever for those characters.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like that, it's also a curtain call for the people that are involved in that plan with him that help him out, that help him carry that out, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh, cool, like, we got to see them again. And, like, you know, they're still, like, they're not dead, number one. And number two, they're, like, still up to their, like, silly, almost, like, juvenile kind of crime. But, yeah, that was brilliant, that thing.
Mm-hmm. I thought the end, like, the end match with that song that they used was just perfect.
Yeah, My Baby Blue?
Yeah.
Yeah, it, you know, I can't see it ending, or I couldn't see it have ending any other way. I really couldn't have.
Yeah, I mean, that basically, that's what had to happen at the wall, probably.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, right from the offset of the show, like, you find out he has cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's a death sentence. Like, they say that if you go back and watch it, is that it's not a matter of, like, if this is going to kill him, but a matter of how much time it can buy him.
Mm-hmm.
And even when the chemo, like, is successful, going into the end of the first season, beginning of the second, it's kind of like, oh, okay, he beat the cancer for now.
Yeah.
Like, it, you know. So it was going to be six of one, half a dozen of the other. You knew what the outcome was going to be, but this way, like, it was just so fucking poetic and, like, beautiful. Like, he sort of goes out on his own terms, mm-hmm. technically, you know, because it was sort of by his own doing.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also, like, protecting, like, someone who was, like, a son to him and Jesse. And, like, I don't know, it was just kind of like his one last act of, like, redemption, sort of. To Jesse, and then giving him the choice to, like, do what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Jesse's sort of perfect, like, last fuck you to him. Mm-hmm. By, like, Jesse shows his love for Walt by, like, not, you know, taking the opportunity to shoot him. But it's also his, like, last act of, like, I guess, like, father-son sort of, like, defiance.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I'm not gonna kill you because, like, you don't deserve to die. But I'm also not going to give you what you want. Incredible.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I mean, every episode of this, like last half of the season has been, like, just better than last the one before it. Somehow. Even though they're all incredible.
Yeah, man, they just kept raising the stakes.
Mm-hmm.
And it never seemed to taper off. Like, I didn't know how they were going to top the train thing.
Yeah.
And then the fucking sharp turn that takes with the witness, you know, with that little boy, and it's just like, oh my god, like, how how does it get more intense than this? You know? Like, where do you even fucking go from here? But they went.
Yeah.
They went far.
Fucking Todd.
Yeah, dude. Fuck Todd. That was great. And and Lydia, too. Ah.
Yep.
I was, like, crying when that happened. Fucking shrew. I don't get all the hate for Stevia, but whatever. It's still kind of funny. Mm-hmm.
So did you watch anything else, Joe?
Man, I watched The Goldbergs. I watched S.H.I.E.L.D. from last week. I still haven't seen the most recent episodes, but I will, you know, soon. And I feel like I watched something else, too. I can't really remember. There's a lot of stuff that I still need to watch. I still need to get caught up with Boardwalk Empire.
Mm-hmm.
I know Eastbound and Down, the final season, came back, just started, yep. And I really, really am looking forward to watching that. But I won't lie to you, man. GTA is just ruining my life.
Mm-hmm. It does that.
GTA Online
is not enough. No.
Well, I mean, it's ruining my life in the best of ways, mm-hmm. I should really say. But ruining nonetheless. So, yeah. That's me.
Did you watch anything, Chris?
No, I've just been watching, like, The Office the last season. Because it got added to Netflix.
Yeah, they just did that and 30 Rock, so I got to catch up on those, too.
So, I mean, like, it's the same thing.
I might watch the last episode at some point just to see how that ended.
I'm going to have no idea
who any of the characters are, because they had, like, a shitload of new characters that, like, for, like, the last two seasons.
To The Office?
Yeah.
Like, three.
Yeah, a few.
But then, like, the camera crew started, like, actually appearing in the show.
Yeah, I didn't get that far, but when I heard about that, I was not a fan.
It's like, oh, what's interesting to the guys who are actually shooting this? It's, like, Doug the sound guy or something. It's just like, okay.
Fuck you, Doug. No thanks.
Yeah.
Alrighty. That's me.
Man alive.
See, I'm sure we'll have a ton of stuff to talk about next podcast in 2 weeks.
Oh, boy, will we.
Yeah. So, but I think that's going to do it for this week. So if you want more from us, you go to www.everythingaction.com for news, reviews, trailers, videos, all sorts of stuff. Enter Asylum for 66 The Child's up there right now. You can go to read that. Our commentary for Halloween Night's going to be up next week. And then definitely check out the site. Check out the Facebook and Twitter, because I'm sure it's going to be blowing up next week at Comic-Con. Facebook.com/everything.action, Twitter.com/EVAction. Follow us in there, see what we're doing. Apparently our badges are RFID, so you can track our every move in the convention center. And we're going to be hopefully doing a bunch of interviews, going to a bunch of screenings, so...
We're going to fuck shit up, and you're going to be the first to know about it, pretty much.
Yeah. We're going to rampage across New York City, so...
Yeah, man. I mean, this is huge for us, so anyone who's been listening for a long time, or if you're a first-time listener or whatever, like, thanks for coming along with us, because, you know, it's going to be just as much your thing as it is ours, so we're pretty psyched.
Mm-hmm. Also, everythingaction.tumblr.com is our Tumblr. Maybe some stuff going on there, you never know, from Comic-Con. Contact everythingaction.com is the email address. And we're also on iTunes. If you search for Everything Action on iTunes, you can subscribe to us, get our podcasts and commentaries and everything else we put up there. Stitcher.com, search for us in there. You can stream us down on there. And I think that's it. So for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you in 2 weeks.